Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Well, I'm sure you noticed that we're all matching today. We all called each other and said, wear your crazy orange t-shirt. But anyway, today is all about connect groups. Somebody say, woohoo! All right. And our shirts say, are you in BBC Connect Groups? And because we want to help you get connected. Amen? And so my message today is about being connected and the benefits of being connected in a connect group. Some people call it life groups, small groups, connect groups, whatever you want to call it, they're a good thing. And so we want to help you get hooked up with one and show you the benefits of them and how they'll help you spiritually. How many want to be helped spiritually?
Yes.
Hey, right. We need some help. If your neighbor didn't raise their hand, do this. Hello. You need a little help. But today we're going to talk to you just a little bit about some habits of effectual people. How many want to be effectual?
Yes.
You know, spiritually effectual people. We want things that are going on in the spirit to be working. And I don't know about you, but I figured out a long time ago that I can't make it without the Spirit of God in my life.
Amen.
I can't. You know, the Spirit of God is where the supernatural of God comes into play. And I can't make it without that. I need that. Just me alone naturally is not near enough for what I need. Anybody know how that feels? It's just not near enough. And so there are three things that spiritually effective people do. Three things that all spiritually effective people have in common. Three things. Every spiritually effective person, everybody's getting out their notes like, man, I need to hear this. There are three things that all spiritually effective people have in common. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And come on now. Here we go. I got it together today. Don't worry about me. Here we go. Let me get my lock going. But before we do that, let's do something a little bit fun. How many know I love statistics? I love numbers. And since we're going to talk about habits, there's a book called The First Really Important Survey of American Habits. The First Really Important Survey of American Habits. So I thought it would be fun, before we get all spiritual about stuff, to see how the BBC people measure up to the rest of America. We know we're far superior, right? But let's just see. Okay, here we go. When preparing a peanut, we're going to get deep here. When preparing a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which goes on the top layer, peanut butter or jelly? The top layer. I didn't realize there was a top layer of peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but I guess. Now, what do you guys say?
Jelly.
Uh-oh. 4% of Americans say jelly. 96% say peanut butter. We might be in trouble here. We're going through the mirror. Here we go. Here we go. Do you store your socks rolled up or folded flat? How many rolled up? Folded flat. Okay. 51% flat. No. 51% flat, 49% rolled up. How many of you just throw them in the drawer and just grab two out, right? You know, if you have all white socks, you just grab two. They always match, right? Here we go. This one might get us in a little bit of trouble. Who is usually late in your household? Let's not even do that one. Let's just keep going. We're just getting ourselves in trouble there. Okay, here's one. Now this is going to help somebody. Do you place an empty roll of toilet tissue? Do you replace an empty roll of toilet tissue or leave it for the next person to replace? Sure you do. Sure you do. All right, now how many prefer that the roll is over and how many are under?
Over.
Overs. Raise your hand, overs. Unders? All right, 68% of Americans are overs. So we're good there. And 32% of Americans are unders. But the real question is, how many overs have married an under? That's the real question. If you have a Mozzie, you have to take it off the roll and just put it on the counter. Because what happens with Mozzie, if he walks into the bathroom and it's on the roll, if it's anywhere he can reach it, he grabs a little piece of it and charges off through the house with toilet paper running behind him. He TP's the house. And so we just took it off the thing and put it on there. You're probably saying, why don't you discipline him? Let's not go there this morning. He's too cute. He's just too cute. Okay, here, last one. Who uses, this is the easy one, who uses the most space in your closet? He does or she does? He does. He does. Only 20% of Americans say he does. 80% of Americans say she does. And so, but you know, the point of it is that habits really, they form our lives. You know, how many of us set some goals for this year? We started out this year saying that we're declaring and we're decreeing that this year will be different. Amen? That this year will be intentional, that it won't just be another hamster wheel year, but this is going to be the year that we're going to do what God's called us to do, we're going to be who God's called us to be, and we're going to have what God said called us to have. Amen? How many believe that God's got more for you than you've got?
Yes.
Amen? Everybody needs to raise their hand. God has more for us than we have. But the thing is, we set these big goals, and we're like, yeah, whoo, this is going to be my year. But how we get to the end of the year and look back and say, you know what? I did what God called me to do this year. I grew in who he called me to be, and I received more of what he had for me to receive. How we're going to get there is not going to be one big event. It's not one big service where you get hands laid on you and everything changes. That really doesn't happen. It happens, but not very often. The way that that's going to happen is we're going to change what we do on a daily basis. We're going to change our habits. We're going to change what we do. If we change a little of what we do every day to become more intentional, to become more, to declare the things that God has for us, to do what God's called us to do, if we do a little bit more of that every day and we make it part of our lifestyle, part of our habit, how many know at the end of the year we're going to look back and say, man, this year was different. This year was different. If you're waiting for a big service, if you're waiting for a burning bush in your front yard, it's probably not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What God is looking for us to do is change our lives day by day. And we change our lives day by day by changing our habits. And so habits are they're what shape our lives. We are a sum of our habits. We are a sum. Who we are today is based on what we've done yesterday and the days before. Amen? That's just the truth. And so if we want to change who we are tomorrow, I got to change what I'm doing today. And we're going to do that by habits, just changing some habits. So we're going to talk about those three habits that that believers have in common, three habits that spiritually effective people have in common, and they're absolutely essential for spiritual growth. You know, I've met lots of believers. I've been in church for a long time. And you know what? And it's a good thing. But sometimes it can be a little bit of a discouraging thing. But when people, you know, they get on fire for God and they're like, man, I'm going to change my life. I know I can just tell what's going to happen by what they do the next day. You know, people who come out of, who are involved in things they shouldn't be involved in or doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. And they're like, man, I'm changing. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit doing drugs. I'm going to quit hanging with this crowd. I'm going to quit. But if the next day they're still hanging with all those same people, and the next day they still got all them same friends, and the next day they still got all them same homies, guess what? There's no change coming. There's no change coming. Because they may have felt like changing that one day, but unless you change tomorrow and the next day, there's no change. You want to, but in order to change, you ready? You got to change. Woo, that's a bumper sticker right there. That's a bumper sticker preaching right there. But anyway, here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to read it to you out of the Phillips translation. It says this: take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Being spiritually fit, being spiritually effective, having the change that we're looking for, having that intentional life, that life that we declared at the beginning of the year, it doesn't happen automatically. It's going to take time, it's going to take effort, and it's going to cause you a little bit of trouble. But how many know things that are worth it, you got to work for? And so when we think about this, you know, it's not automatic. It's going to take some stuff. But we say, well, why bother? The Living Bible says it like this. It says, spiritual exercises will help you not only in this life, but in the next life too. What I'm going to share with you is not only going to help you now, but it's going to have long-term results in eternity. How many know we're going to be there a whole lot longer? Amen. And how what we do down here, that, you know, we're going to have treasures and rewards in heaven. And, you know, you don't want to get up there and be like, you know, hey, what'd you do? Well, I got saved and that was pretty much it. How many don't want that to happen? We got some stuff to do now. So here we go. Here's the three things. The three, I know everybody's waiting. You're like, come on, give me them three things. That's all I want to hear today is those three things. Here we go. Three things everybody, all spiritually effective people do. You ready? If God is number one in your time, your money, and your relationships, he's number one. That's where it's at. Number one thing people do that are spiritually effective, they get time with God every day. Say every day.
Every day.
It's called. You could call it quiet time. You can call it devotion time. Whatever you want to call it. But you read the Bible for a little bit. You pray a little bit. And you get time alone with God every day. Every day. Whether it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is. But you do it every day. That's called a relationship. How many, you know, our marriage relationships, how many know your marriage relationship is not going to be very good if you don't talk to each other but once a week? How many know, well, some of you are thinking, well, that might help right now, but, you know, but really, a marriage, if you only talk to your spouse once a week, how many know that's obviously not a great relationship? But yeah, a lot of times that's exactly what we want to do with God. We only want to spend time with God once a week in a crowd. And how many know when there's a crowd, it's hard to be intimate with somebody? It's not even normal, you know. When you're in a crowd, there's a lot of other people around, and so that you can get with God, but it's not the same as getting with God with just you and Him. It's not the same. And so the number one thing that spiritually effective people, say effective people do is they get time with God every day. Every day. And you know, and if you miss a day, you just say, tomorrow's my day. We don't just give up, right? We don't just give up. How many, you know, this year we talked about, I always encourage everybody, do a devotional. Devotionals are powerful. You're like, I don't even know, I want to get with God, but I don't know what to do. You know, a lot of people are like, I want to spend time with God, but I don't know what to do. Well, fortunately for you, God's put a lot of really great people in this world who can lead you in what to do. The best way to do spend time with God, in my personal opinion, is to have a great devotional. And you know what? One of the best devotionals you'll ever get. It's free. You don't even have to pay for it. I get it to my phone every morning. It's Rick Renner's Spiritual Gems. Gems as in G-E-M-S. Sparkling Gems. That's the Sparkling Gems. It's the best. It comes in a giant book that's like this thick. You know, it's a huge book. Or you can just get it for free, sent right to your phone or your iPad or your computer. It's the best. If you say, man, I want that, come see Pastor Devon after service. Because I know he gets it, so he'll be able to just pull it up right on his iPad. But, you know, or get a Joyce Meyer devotional, a Kenneth Copeland devotional. Get something where you can get into the Word of God every day. And many times these devotionals are so good, they'll lead you in a prayer. They'll say, now pray this. Isn't that good? You say, well, I want to do my own thing. Well, are you doing anything? Before you start doing your own thing, why don't you try doing something? Right? Let's try doing something before you try to do your own thing. And there's nothing wrong with using a devotional. I have three devotionals I do every morning. I love them. One of them is Sparkling Gems. And, you know, I change them throughout, but I always do Sparkling Gems. It's the best. It's the best. Today is, have you ever felt rejected, alone? And it's a good one. Because, you know, all of us have felt rejected or alone at some point. And so I encourage you to do that. But that's the number one thing. You want to be spiritually effective? You know, just like, the body is very much our physical body. God uses our natural bodies to explain things in the body of Christ often. You guys know that. But how many know if you only eat good and go to the gym once a week, how many know you're probably not going to lose much weight? If you just do whatever you want, you're at McDonald's the whole rest of the time or eating chocolate chip cookies or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then, but once a week, boy, you're on salad and lean protein. And you're pumping iron as you're like, ooh, boy, this is my day. Woo! How many know that's not going to work for you? It's not going to be effective. But if somebody, if they go every day and they eat good, let's say they eat good 6 days and they take one free day, how many know that's going to be a lot more effective? The same thing is true for your spiritual body. You can't just come in here on Sunday and be like, man, this is my day. I'm going to work out today. I'm going to get with God today. And then all through the rest of the week, you're like, God who? That's just not effective. Are you still born again? Yeah, you're still born again. But I don't know about you, but I've got things to do this year. I got things God has for me this year. I've got places to go this year. I want to be who God's called me to be. I want the fullness of God, not the minimal. I want the fullness of God. And I'm going to get that by doing what effective spiritual people do. And that's you got to spend some time with God. You know, that's the number one thing people try to shortcut. You know, everybody wants a shortcut. There is no shortcut in a relationship. Not in a personal relationship with a person, and not in a relationship with God either. There is no shortcut. There is no substitute for time. There's no substitute for intimacy. No substitute for that. And so if you're looking for all kinds of things, you know, people go from meeting to meeting to meeting. They're chasing people, looking for a word. They're waiting for somebody to give me a word. Somebody lay hands on me. They're looking for a substitute for a personal, intimate relationship with God. And there isn't one. There isn't one. It's great to have hands laid on you. It's great to get a word from God. I'm not saying that's not a good thing. That's a good thing. But you don't chase it. You don't chase it looking for that to fill you and direct you. God fills me and directs me daily. Daily. Amen? That's just good preaching right there now. All right, let's keep going here. Where are we at? Somebody please print my message for next service. I tried to print it when I got here and the printer wasn't working. And I looked for Chris Fong, couldn't find him. He's our guy. So we're going to get with God every day, right? The Bible says this, you know, Jesus is our model. He's our, you know, a routine. That's what we're looking for, those habits to build that routine. And, you know, the Bible says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In other words, he withdrew from the crowd and got alone. Now, if Jesus had to go to get alone and pray with God, how many know, like, hello, I definitely need to, because I'm not Jesus. He definitely had a lot more going on than I do and than you do, right? And if he had to get alone and pray, what makes anybody think I can get by without it? I can't get by without it. You can't get by without it. And you know, it's so, why do we try? That's really the question. And people say, well, I'm busy. Let me tell you something. Next time you say you're busy, turn your TV off. Yes. Amen. You know, we did the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And Angel, myself, Pastor Scott, we all did television. That was one of the things we did. We didn't watch any TV at all. My TV at my house, I only have one, was not on at all. With one exception, I was babysitting. My little nephew wanted to watch Caillou, which I don't recommend that cartoon. I don't like that cartoon. But anyway, it was on for that. That was it. No other TV. Next time you say you're busy or you don't have enough time, quit watching TV. Because Angel and I both were talking about, man, you got so much time on your hands when you're not watching television. And, you know, I'm not anti-TV. I like TV. But I am anti anything that makes you think you're too busy for God. I'm anti anything that makes you think you're too busy for God. Because again, we want to be spiritually effective, right? So that's the number one thing. It's just getting with God, getting his word in us. John 15:7, this is a powerful scripture. It says, Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you may ask for anything you wish and you shall have it. Everybody wants to ask for stuff with no word in them. It don't work that way. It didn't work that way. The word of God must remain in you. And in order for it to remain in you, how many know it's got to get in you? How's it going to get in you? It's going to get in you by reading it. And people say, oh, well, I don't understand the Bible. Listen, if you can't understand the Message Bible, you need help. Yes. Because that Bible is so, the King James Version, join the crowd. We can't understand that either sometimes. All the these and thous. But listen, now the Bible's free. You can get it on your phone. You can get it anywhere. We're so blessed. You can read the Message Bible, the New Living Translation. You can read a Contemporary English Bible. It talks just like your friend. Can you understand them? Can you understand people that are talking to you? Can you understand people on television? Well, then you can understand the contemporary Bible version because they talk the same way. Say amen. Just make me feel better.
Amen. Glory to God.
Let's get rid of these excuses so we can be effective.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's get rid of these excuses so we can look back on December 31st and say, you know what? This was my year. And not be down there crying and saying, oh, it's the same. I didn't do anything. And all your friends that are doing what I'm saying, they start doing it and they start being effective and things start happening in their life and the things of God start coming to pass in their life. And you're going to be like, man, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I listen? Let's get rid of all these excuses. Oh, I don't understand the Bible. There's no excuse for that anymore. Plus, you got the Holy Ghost who's going to help you understand it.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost, if you'll just get into it, the Holy Ghost will help you understand the Word of God. He'll help you. You've got the Helper. That's who He is. And so, okay, now next thing, we're just going to take a small amount of time on it because it's not our focus today. And that is number two thing that spiritually effective people do. You guys ready? They're tithers. They're tithers. They give a tithe to God every week. Tithing is the spiritual habit of giving back to God the first 10% of all that I make. If I make $100, I give $10 back. If I make $1,000, I give $100 back. I get to keep 90, and I return to Him the 10%, which He says belongs to Him anyway. Now, before you get all freaked out about giving, you're not required to tithe. We don't require people to give. We don't do that here. We say here at BBC we give because we want to, not because we have to. But I'll tell you what, if you're not a tither, there's one reason. There's two reasons. There's only two reasons why somebody doesn't tithe. Number one, they don't know. Number two, you have no faith. That's it. No other reason. You don't know or you don't have faith. Because if you have faith in God's Word, there is no way. I couldn't keep you from tithing. You couldn't keep us from tithing if you have faith because of all the blessings that God says comes from tithing. And so I encourage you, we're going to be doing a series in March called The Blessed Life where we're going to take tithing and we're going to explain it to everybody. Because so many people, when I said, man, what do you want to have different this year? What do you want to change in your life this year? What do you want to have different? You know what? People said my relationships and my finances. Said I want to be debt-free this year. I want to get out from financial pressure. That's what people said. Well, you know what? The only way that's going to happen is not from another job. It's not from more money. It's from getting God in your money. That's the only way it's going to happen. Because let's be honest. How many of us, and I say us because me too, we've made a certain amount of money, and we've had an idea in our head, man, if I just made more money, then I wouldn't have these problems. And then we make more money, and what happens? We have more bills. We spend more money. How does that happen? Right? So it isn't about more money. It's about getting God in the money we have. And that's what tithing does. Tithing opens the door for God in your money. And, you know, I was talking with a young girl, and I won't say her name. I don't think she'd mind me saying this. But she had been asking me about tithing, and she was in a financial situation. Young girl, 19 actually. And I started explaining to her about tithing, and she started tithing. And since she started tithing, I met with her, and she was telling me, she got an opportunity at work that she had been waiting for a very long time. She got more hours another place, said she could come and work there. When she wasn't working at this location, she could work at another location. And I said to her, do you see all these financial blessings started when you started tithing? And she was like, I didn't even think of that. But yeah, as soon as I started tithing, all these opportunities started opening up for me. I have more money now than I did then, and I'm giving some of it away. And you think that doesn't make sense? The supernatural will never make sense to your natural mind. So you got to make a decision. Do I want to live in the natural, or do I want to live in the supernatural? You want to live in the supernatural, you got to do supernatural things.
Amen.
Amen. You got to step out in faith. And so I encourage you, if you said this year, I'm going to change my finances this year, we're going to buy that house, we're going to get a savings account, we're going to get out of debt. If you said that, then you better be here the whole month of March, because that's what we're talking about on Wednesday nights. We're just going to take tithing from A to Z, you will have no questions when we're finished. None. They'll all be answered. Isn't that good?
Amen.
All right. And we're even going to feed you. We're going to give you pizza. We're calling it pizza and preaching.
Come on, man.
Here we go. Deuteronomy 14:23 says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. That's Deuteronomy 14:23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. You know, when we say, God, I want you to be number one in my life, but he's last place in your budget, that's a contradiction. Because the Bible says, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. You want to know what's important to you, look at where you spend your money. That's how you find out what's important to you. What do you always, you know, there's some things people always have money for. And I'm not cracking on smokers. I'm not. Listen, I have a heart for smokers. I really do. And I know that sounds funny. I got a heart for smokers. But I do. My mom was a smoker. And she, I mean, as hard as she tried, she could never kick that habit. She ended up dying from cancer, just FYI. But I tell you what, I saw her struggle my whole life. There was never a time in my life that my mom didn't smoke. Never. She tried with everything she had to kick it. Was never able to. I have compassion for you if you're a smoker. And if you want to quit, then let's help you. Amen? Let's get God in there and let's help you. Just because my mom couldn't do it doesn't mean you can't do it. Amen? But I'm not judging you. I care about you and I have great compassion for smokers because I know. I remember taking my mom to a doctor one time. And this is when she had cancer from smoking. And the doctor was talking to me, and he said, I've had people come in here. They've kicked heroin. They've kicked crack. They've kicked everything. This is the hardest addiction to kick. He said that to me. So listen, it's hard, but all things are possible with Christ Jesus. Amen? And so I just want to encourage you. When I say this, I'm not dogging on you. I care about you, and I have compassion for you. But I'll tell you what. Who in the world, I was behind somebody at Walgreens the other day. You know, I obviously don't buy cigarettes. And I was there because my mom smoked, and I always was like, oh, drove me. And but I was behind somebody. A pack of cigarettes was $8. I looked at the person, and I was like, did you buy something else? And they're like, no, they're like $8.49. I was like, $8.49 for one pack of cigarettes? That's a movie ticket. I mean, that's a lot of money. Don't you think that's a lot of money? But you know what? I'll tell you, you got money. See, we have money. And listen, I'm not cracking on you because you know what? There's the other, we're at Dunkin' Donuts getting a big old $5 Frappuccino thing, you know, and then we're like, man, I don't have any money. I don't know where my money's going. Well, you know, hello. And so the thing is that when it comes to money, it's just getting our heads wrapped around that God wants to help us be a good steward, and he wants to get in there, and he wants to help us with our finances. The way that he does that, we got to let him in. The way you let anybody in, if you want to let somebody in your heart, what do? You give him a piece of your heart. The way you let God into your finances, you start giving God your finances. That's how it works. And so that's the number two thing. Let's keep going. I don't want to spend much time on that one. All right, ready? You guys ready? Last one. Three things spiritually effective people do. They get with God every day. Say every day.
Every day.
Get the word in them every day. Every day. Number two, they give to God. They give a tithe to God, not, you know, a tithe. Tithe is 10%. And then next thing is they get together with other believers. They get together with other believers. You can't go through life and be spiritually effective and not have other believers in your life. How many know you need other believers? And why is it important that they're like, well, my friends are great. Well, that's, and people are great. You know, I have friends who are not born again. I know that may sound strange, but I do. I've got people from that I'm working on. I'm working on them. And but they're not my they're not my company. The Bible says that Peter and John returned to their company after they had been in jail and assaulted. They returned to their company. Your company is who gives you strength, who is there for you, who stands with you, who prays with you, who believes like you. And you got to ask yourself, who's my company? And if you don't have one, you need to get one. Because there's nothing like having people in your life that you can call and say, listen, I just need you to pray for me. And know that they're not just going to agree with you or say some crazy off-the-wall prayer that's not even going to work because it's not based on the Word of God. You know, some prayer, you know, people say, well, I pray all the time. If you don't pray according to the word, it's not going to work.
That's right. Amen.
It's not going to work. The Bible tells us how to pray. We've got to pray the way he tells us how to pray. But we need a company of believers who are there for us. And as spiritually effective people, they get together with other believers. They get together. You can't make it on your own. Your marriage is going to be better if you got spiritually people that are like you, that are married, that you relate with. It's going to be better. If you're married and you're hanging out with people that don't have the same values as you, and I'm talking about your company, not your coworker at work that you just say hey to. I'm talking about people you hang with. You see the difference? There's a difference.
Yeah.
If you are hanging out with people and you're married with a couple and they don't have the same values as you, they have loose values. How many know what loose values are? How many know that's going to cause you trouble? It's going to cause you trouble. You're going to be like, man, how did this happen? Well, you're hanging out with somebody that's not like you. The Bible says, what does light have to do with darkness? We're not supposed to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's not just in marriage. That's in company. Amen? In company. Your BFF should be BFFs with God. Amen? If they're not, it's just going to cause you trouble. It's going to cause you trouble. And so spiritually effective people, we got to get together with God. Hebrews 10:25. Turn there if you want. It says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage each other. How many have ever needed some encouragement? Everybody needs encouragement. And you know where we're going to get the best encouragement from? From somebody who's going to open up their Bible and say, hey, let's see what God has to say about it. Let's pray about it. Not somebody who's going to say, oh, well, let's just forget them and go get wasted. What's that going to do? Now you're going to have more problems. Number one, you're going to be broke because that's expensive. Number two, you're going to have a hangover. Number three, you probably, when you're in that condition, you always do something that compromises yourself or your relationship, right? It's just not going to help the matter. But if you're having trouble and you call somebody who's in your company, somebody who's a believer, somebody who stands with you, and they'll walk with you through a difficult time with the power of God, the help of God, the word of God, praying to God, how many know that's going to be a whole lot better?
Amen.
But you know what? People can come to church for a long time. You can come to church for a long time and never join the company. You can just walk in, hallelujah, you get something, you get it, you hear the word, you get the word, you praise, you worship, you give, but then you walk out and you form no relationships. You form no bond. You don't join the company. And then Monday through Saturday, you're hurting. And it's hard, and you need somebody. But you sit there and say, but I got nobody to call. I got nobody to call. And a lot you say, well, I could call you. Sure, you could call me. But a lot of times people don't want to call me because they don't want me to know everything going on in their life. And I totally understand that. I get that. That's why you need a friend. You need a friend. The Bible says that we need friends. We need somebody that we can talk with and share with and grow with and challenge one another, right? We need friends. You're not going to get those coming in, sitting on a pew, hearing the word, walking out, and not thinking about it until you get back the next week. It's just not going to happen. How many know this is not going to happen? Church is better when you're in it, when you don't just come to it, but you're part of it. Church is just better. You know, I hear people say, oh, I want to get involved. Well, have you gone to this? No. Did you sign up for any Connect groups? No. Do you talk with anybody? No. I don't have any friends. Well, we're starting to see why. You know, we're starting to see why. You know, the Bible says to be a friend, you got to show yourself friendly. Don't let insecurities from grade school and high school keep you from being part of the body of Christ. Don't let that happen. Because the truth of the matter is, everybody's about the same level of insecure. Nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to be turned away. Everybody wants to feel part of something. But because of things that have happened to us when we're young, we were rejected or we weren't part of the in crowd or somebody called us names, we stay back and we don't step up. We don't show up for game night. We don't show up for prayer. We don't join a Connect group because we're like, oh, they may not like me. But you know what? That group is full of people who thought at one time or another, I hope they like me. because we're all the same. Don't let the enemy tell you you're the only one that has those kind of feelings. You're not. We all do. We all have those kind of feelings. But let's just rip off that insecurity and say, you know what, I'm going to go. They're believers. Believers are usually nice. Not always. Not always, unfortunately. But usually, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, part of this body, usually they're pretty nice and they want you to come and be part of something, right? So let's keep going here. We've got a few more things. All right, right. You know, we want to be in fellowship. Life can be tough. We all get discouraged. The fact is, you're never going to be an effective Christian if you try to go it alone. We need other people. Life was meant to be lived. Life wasn't meant to be lived by itself. It's just not healthy. Here's a great story. Listen to this. Redwood trees have very shallow roots. They withstand the wind by spreading out and intertwining roots, and they hold each other up. Isn't that amazing? I mean, redwood trees are huge. They're some of the biggest trees in the world. You would think that those trees would have the deepest roots, but they don't. Their roots are very shallow. And the way that they're able to stand tall through all the storms of life is that their roots are intertwined and they hold each other up. And you know what? That's the same with the body of Christ. We are rooted and grounded in love with Christ Jesus, of course. But when we're rooted together, when we're together, we're going to be able to hold one another up. Amen? And you know what? And that's how it's supposed to be. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says, two are better off than one because, you ready? They are more effective. If you want to be more effective in your Christian life, you have to get together with other believers. There's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. And we've done it lots of times, done the illustration where we've had somebody come up, and, you know, when it comes to pulling somebody away, it's a whole lot harder when he's got friends holding on to him. You know what? You say, man, what happened? Why do people backslide? Why do people get out of the things of God? Number one reason, they don't form relationship with other believers. It's number one reason. Because when you're in relationships with other believers who are serving God, loving God, living for God, and you start slacking, they're going to start pulling. They're going to start pulling you back saying, come on now, what's going on? They're going to pray for you. They're going to be there for you. It's part of being together. Life is better together. How many know that's true? Everything's better with more people in it. You know? It's just more fun. It's more fun. You know, we, as a staff, we read books together. And it's so much better to do it together. Because, you know, if you're reading one book, you're like, oh, that's so good, that's so good. But when you're reading it with a group of people, then you say to them, hey, did you read that part? And they're like, oh, yeah, I read that part too. And you share, and it strengthens you, because the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. You want to know why maybe your life is dull? You got nothing going on in your life? It might be because you don't have anybody sharpening you. You're just all alone. You're just a knife in the drawer. But you got to get out. Amen? God has called us to live life together. It strengthens us. Let's keep going here. Here we go. We got to get together. Amen? You know, so many people say, I don't need any other Christians. I don't need a church family or a small group. You know what? You're kidding yourself. We need each other to grow together. We need each other. When you've got a major star playing against you offensively, you know, we just had the Super Bowl, you know, how many watch the Super Bowl? It's kind of painful, really, if you're a Broncos fan. But, you know, it was really amazing. But the thing that the Seattle, I'm not a huge, don't come up and ask me football questions. I will not be able to answer them. But I did watch the game, and it was just amazing the teamwork that the Seahawks had. I mean, they just seemed to, their offense was just, right? That's right. Was it offense or defense? Defense. But man, those guys were amazing. I mean, they were just stuck together. Nobody could get through. You know what? The same thing is true in the body of Christ. When you stick together, nothing can get through. Amen. Nothing can get through. Because you got people praying for you, standing with you. You're all strengthened with the word. You're doing what God's called you to do. You know, things work better when you do them God's way. And God says that we need to be together. And so that's what connect groups are for. Connect groups are all about connecting people together so that you can do life together. There's all different kinds of groups. There's sports groups, game groups, photography group, bowling group. And then there's also the spiritual side of groups. There's Bible study groups and all that kind of stuff. And so I want to encourage you, don't look at this as just another thing on your calendar. We got a little video to kind of show you the importance of connect groups. So you ready up there? And so let's just watch this and let's see. The connect groups aren't just a party. They're not just a baseball game. They're not just a football game. They're powerful instruments for you to be a more effective believer. Amen? Go ahead. That's good, isn't it? And then you say, well, how can that happen if we're all playing football? Here's how that can happen. Because while you're playing football, you're forming relationships with people who are like you. People who believe. People who love God. People who want the plan of God for their life. And in every connect group at Believer's Victory, whether it's cooking or playing football or reading the Bible, every one of them has a spiritual component to it. Where at some point during that time you're all together, everybody gets together and says, let's pray. Let's pray. Do you got something? Does anybody here have anything we can pray about? Every one of them has that. And you know, you don't get that with everybody, but you're going to get that at your BBC Connect group. And then what happens is you're going to form friendships with people. You're going to form relationships. And then when maybe something comes up, you're going to have a company to call, a company to go to. Amen? And that's what it's all about. It's about doing life together. And so today, our big thing is, if you're leading a small group, we need you to get in. We need you to all your information. And you know, I want to encourage you. So many people are saying, well, I want to lead a group, but I don't know what to do. I am an idea person. If you ever need an idea, come to me. I'm an idea person. I always have an idea. They're not all good, you know, as some people point out to me. But here's a great one. A spiritual action plan for complete financial breakthrough by the Copelands. Wouldn't this be great to do with a couple of your friends, right? You know, some people think, well, I don't know enough. Listen, you don't have to know enough. You got to know somebody who knows enough. Amen? How many believe that Kenneth Copeland knows enough?
He knows something.
Amen? He knows a thing or two. Yes. You don't need to know. You just got to know somebody who knows. So you don't have to be like, oh, I got to prepare a lesson. No, we don't want you to do that. We want to take things like this and let's do it together. Here's another one. How many did the Marriage on the Rock last year that we did? You thought, man, that was good. Well, you know what? We got the DVDs. We've got this. You could take it and a couple of your married friends come to your house and all watch it again together. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
How about a Christian movie night? That's a good idea, right? Here, we got a bunch of Christian movies, but these are two good ones. One's called The Grace Card, one's called To Save a Life, and we got a bunch more. Every week you watch a different Christian movie. How many know that'd be fun? Pop some popcorn? How many did the Connect group we had a while back called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage? Was that awesome or what? How many would love to do it again? Hey, open up your house and invite some friends over to Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. You don't have to prepare. You don't have to do anything. Get a bag of chips and put them on the table. Tell everybody, bring their own drink. Let's watch this video. Connect groups aren't hard. We make them hard. It's just about getting together and doing something. Here's a good one for if any of the ladies out here are saying, oh, I'd like to get some of my girlfriends together. This is a great book. It's called Girls with Swords. Isn't that a great title? It's all about using the power of God's word in your life, and it's written for women. It's a great book. And then how many have been through some things?
Yes.
Anybody been through something? This is a DVD series by Tony Cook, one of the best Bible teachers on the planet, and it's called Through the Storms. It's a DVD, and it talks about how to get through some things, how to get through the loss of someone you love, how to get through a financial crisis, how to get through something that's really affecting your life, a storm. How many know there's probably some people in our church that could really love to come over to your house and watch this DVD with you? Say, well, I don't have a very nice house. Neither do I. I don't have one of those big, giant houses. I don't have one of those, but I still have people over to my house. It isn't about that. You can't come to my house if you're allergic to dogs, though. Amen. Or take a Benadryl like Devon does. We have some at our house, Benadryl dispenser. You know, it isn't about your fancy house. It's about your heart.
That's right.
Nobody's going to care what your house is like. What they care about is they've got a friend's house to go to.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed how many people sit home at night so often wishing somebody would invite them over to their house, wishing somebody would just say, hey, you want to come over and hang out? That's what connect groups are. It's about coming over and hanging out. Amen? It's not more complicated. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean. Just got to say, hey, come on over. My house is open. My house is open. And so if you're interested in leading a connect group, you say, well, I haven't taken the class. We'll work with you this week. This is the last week. And then next Sunday, we're going to have all of the groups put online. You can check them out and go online, be praying about where God wants you to go. And then next Sunday, we're going to start sign up. And we want to have everybody in a connect group. We're going to be asking you. We're walking around with our shirts on. Are you in? Are you in? Are you in? Because we want you to have the benefit that God has for you with doing life together. How many just know it's just better? It's just better. And so I'll leave these resources up here. If you want to look at them and say, yeah, I could do that. I'd like to have some people over to do that. But these are just some ideas. All, you know, these are, you don't have to, you know, we'll loan them to you, obviously. The DVDs, you don't have to buy your own. But we'll leave these up here. If you got questions about connect groups, you can see Angel. He's our connect group captain. And he kind of keeps the whole team together and makes sure everybody's going and doing what they need to do. And so, but you know what? It's a good thing. It isn't about just hanging out. It's about hanging out with the right people. That's what it's about. Isn't that good? I'm going to amen myself.
Amen.
You didn't have a hanky. Oh, okay. All right, here we go. You guys ready to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings tonight? Let's get God in our finances today.